hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Matt Campbell, sitting in for John Stadtmiller, who is still under the weather. And I've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking with gun expert John Snyder. John is the public affairs director of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. He's also the chairman of the St. Gabriel Pocinthe Society, and he'll be telling us a very interesting story behind that. And he's also the vice president of the National Association of Chiefs of Police. John has been nicknamed the Dean of Gun Lobbyists by the Washington Post and the New York Times, and is also the author of the book entitled Gun Saint. Good afternoon, John. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Nadia. It's a real pleasure on this fine afternoon. At least it's fine right now. And how are you today?
We have a lot that we want to cover today, including an important case that's coming before the Supreme Court that's going to be heard in March, and we'll also be talking about the presidential elections. You've got some very fine comments on that and why we have yet to hear about the issue of gun control from any of our candidates. And, of course, today, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking your calls at 800-313-9443. Now, John, we have a few minutes before we go to our first break, but if you would, sir, please tell us the story behind the Gun Saint.
It's a very interesting story, Nadia. In the mid-19th century, there was a young seminarian named Gabriel Pocinthe. He lived in a monastery in Isola, Italy, which is not too far from the Adriatic Sea. This was at a time of great unrest in that particular country, following a battle of Pesaro, in which forces of Garibaldi were very active. There were splits in the fighting forces after the battle, so that a number of individual groups formed themselves into renegade groups. One of these renegade groups from Garibaldi's army of about 20 people began ransacking the country, and one of the towns they ransacked was Isola. At the time, Pocinthe, who was a young seminarian adjacent to the town, heard the commotion and asked his superior if he could go down into that town to try to help out some of the townspeople. The superior begrudgingly gave his assent, and Pocinthe walked into town. Now, Pocinthe, before he had entered religious life, had been quite an advocate in the use of firearms. He had used handguns, rifles, and shotguns. Anyway, he was walking into this town of Isola, and he saw two sergeants about to actually rape a woman. And he walked up to the sergeant, to one of the sergeants, actually grabbed the gun out of the sergeant's holster. And he pointed it at the sergeant, who was quite surprised at this. He also grabbed the handgun out of the holster of another sergeant who was assisting Sergeant Number One, and he made them drop the girl. And at this point, the rest of the renegades, hearing the commotion, thought they would attack him. At that moment, though, he saw a lizard running across the road, and he pointed one of the two handguns at the lizard and killed it with one shot. This demonstration of tremendous handgun marksmanship so impressed and caused fear with the rest of the renegades that when Pocinthe pointed the two guns at them, they immediately obeyed his command to drop their guns.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh, boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Well, actually, John Stadtmiller has morphed into Nadia, and I'll be your host for the next couple of hours. And just before the break, John, I'm sorry that we got you cut off there, but you were telling us an interesting story, and one of many from history that clearly demonstrate the importance of citizens having guns. And I want to get into this legislation that H.R. 2640, called the NICS Improvement Amendment Act, was passed by the House and the Senate last year and was just signed by the President on January the 8th. The FBI's website says, quote, "The NICS is a national system that checks available records on persons who may be disqualified from receiving firearms." So, John, who are those people that they're calling disqualified?
Would the anyone, for instance, who has an outstanding warrant against them for a felony, someone who would have been convicted of a felony, especially a violent felony, and people who have been judged mentally incompetent or drug users, people of that nature, and the bill that was signed recently into law by the President was an attempt to facilitate and update the records of people who fall into the category of mentally incompetent, because the promoters of the bill at the time argued that since the states were not complying fully with putting the information into the federal system, a number of people who should not have been allowed under this law to purchase guns, in fact, were being able to purchase them. This actually created quite a bit of controversy because, in some cases, actually in a lot of cases, people who were veterans of war who had traumatic experiences as a result of that had been put into categories of people who were mentally incompetent. However, they were able to overcome this difficulty with therapy and so on, and there had not been provision in the law to allow these people to be able to requalify as purchasers of firearms. Now, I think that in the final days of discussion on this bill before it finally did pass, as a result of activity by Senator Coburn, we were able to get in that bill provisions that would allow these people who had really been able to requalify to, in fact, have the charge against them dropped as far as this particular bill was concerned. So we're still trying to see how this bill is going to work out in practice, but it was an attempt to clear up what some thought was a failure in the existing system.
Now, you mentioned the issue of mental incompetence. So who decides that? Does it necessarily have to have been a court ruling to establish that with regard to someone being able to get a gun?
Basically, if a court has ordered somebody to be hospitalized or to be examined, I believe that they would fall into the category of somebody who can be considered a mental incompetent. But they're under the new provision now, there is a way for people to challenge that designation, you see.
Well, and you also mentioned the issues of compliance, and I know part of that is making it a felony for the dealers and sellers of guns. If they don't keep the bill of sale, that's a felony.
There have been with these gun laws a lot of occasions in which people have been disqualified from certain rights they ordinarily would have simply because of a failure to live up to certain paper requirements. You see, even though there has been not necessarily any ill will on their part, they just haven't been familiar enough with the law to keep up with all the minuscule requirements. That is definitely true.
Well, and there's been such a proliferation of legislation about gun laws. I would imagine it would take be kind of a full-time job to keep up with all of it.
Well, there are something like over 20,000 gun laws on the books in the United States. That's federal and state, and it is a very difficult undertaking. Now, this new law that we're talking about requires the Attorney General to ensure that all the information in the system that's received from the federal agencies is kept accurate and confidential, and to provide for the removal and destruction of obsolete and erroneous names and information from the system. And it requires the Justice Department to work with states to encourage the development of computer systems for notifying the Attorney General when a court order has been issued or removed, or a person has been adjudicated, that's the key word, adjudicated, as mentally defective or committed to a mental institution. It also prohibits federal agencies from providing a person's mental health or commitment information to the Attorney General if that information has been set aside or expunged, or the person involved has been fully released or discharged from all mandatory treatment, supervision, or monitoring, or if the person has been found to no longer suffer from that mental health condition, or has been found to be rehabilitated, or if the adjudication. What? Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
I know it's
okay.
A long bill. I don't want to overburden you or your listeners with all this information, but.
Well, it is extensive, and I'll tell you one of the things. One of the topics that I mention every now and then on my show in the mornings is the issue of veterans. And I've been watching the statistics that have been coming out of the issues with men and women returning from Afghanistan and Iraq and the post-traumatic stress disorder that many of them have already gotten treatment for. And I can't help but think that what you were talking about earlier, that some of this legislation is prohibiting veterans for one circumstantial reason or another from getting them. And I can't help but think that when these guys come home, that a lot of this is going to affect them, because we know already there's going to be a high incidence of mental illness and impairment because of so much that they have sustained in Iraq.
Oh, but that's exactly what I was trying to get at. You see, you know, some young man is over there and he's, you know, his Jeep is blown up or something like that, and I mean he can't help but have some kind of traumatic stress disorder. So under the way the law is written, he'd be prohibited from owning a gun. However, he probably could get over that with proper treatment and in time, and so on.
The question is, are they going to get that treatment? You know, and I'm going to deal with that issue extensively probably next week because
That's a very important issue, Nadia. But of course, that's a separate issue.
That is
obviously a very, very important issue.
Yeah. Well, John, we have a couple of callers. If you'd like to take a call right now from Mike in Oregon.
Sure, Mike.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Yes. Thank you very much, Nadia Shamsuddin. Thank you for taking my call, indeed. I have comments, and you know, in Iran also that the foreign troops are inside Iran already, Syrian troops, Hezbollah, and Afghanistan, Taliban are inside Iran, and they are the ones who are killing the Iranian people. And I want to ask your host, will similar thing will happen to United States, that foreign troops coming from those African country like Kenya, like other countries that really they shoot American citizens, because American soldier will not shoot American citizens.
Okay, Mike, thanks for your call. Yeah, I think I understand what he's talking about, which is a little off subject, but he's talking about bringing, and I think they've probably been Russian or Chinese, armed. They're going to be called police, but they're already here. They've been trained. Did you want to comment on that, John? Are you familiar with that issue?
Foreigners trained in the United States? Is that what he's talking
about? Yeah. There have been a number of reports of people talking about having been stopped in roadblocks, and this has been going on for quite a long time, and their vehicle was approached with someone in uniform that is speaking with a foreign accent and a uniform that they don't recognize. This has been reported now, I guess, for the last 10 years or so more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We also have another caller, Dave from New York. Dave, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is a story that I've pointed out before, but with neither of you, so I'll briefly go over it. And it addresses a little bit to what do gun laws really mean. Because the story I'm going to tell you is where an executive acted beyond its statutory empowerment. An individual out here went to visit their Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy, to speak about illegal immigration. He was asked to leave the office, and he did, and the next day his guns were confiscated at his house. That's handguns and long guns. Now, there's no registration of long guns in New York as you know it. There was no warrant. There was no judicial authorization of any type. There was no arrest. There was no charges. The executive branch operates through statutory and constitutional empowerment. So the executive branch had no statutory empowerment for such action, and there was no judicial authorization, but yet it was demanded at his house that he surrender all his arms, handguns and long arms. Now, he did comply, and he is coming back with a suit. And I can give you, if you want to follow this suit, it's 07CV3983, suing in federal court. But what I'm saying,
Dave, we're gonna go to another break. But if you would hang on with us, and we'll get to your question right after the break.
Yeah.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Intel Report. I'm Nadia Shamsuddin sitting in for John Stattmiller. And before we went to break, Dave in New York, you were telling us an interesting story. Did you want to follow up with a question for our guest?
Well, it's just really pointing it out because in America we all feel very secure that since there's no laws that allow the executive branch to show up at your door and take your guns for no reason, we all feel pretty secure sometimes. But this case demonstrates that even though there is no statutory empowerment, it has happened. And I would like to point out to gun owners out there also, be ready to use the court system. You know, this individual was a real patriot because he didn't go along with injustice. He is suing, and the case looks very good, by the way, because like I said, there's no statutory empowerment for such actions. But if you're a gun owner and you have an experience like this and you let it go, you know, then you're part of the problem because there is redress in the courts. The executive cannot make up its own laws, otherwise they'd be legislating. And, of course, James Madison designed a model of government where we have three separate branches where any laws had the executive action is empowered by the legislature and the Constitution. So I just want to point out that something like this did happen in America, and it happened to an individual who is going to take action like that. And you know, if anyone comes across an injustice like this and they do not take action, then they're part of the problem. And does your guest have any comment or questions he'd like to ask me about this incident?
Oh, well, like, there was one question that occurred to me there, and that is, were the people who confiscated these firearms, was this state officials or federal officials?
They were local people from local, what we call here, the way we're structured here in Long Island, it would be equivalent to your local police, okay? In other words, he went to visit Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy to speak about illegal immigration. She's pro-illegal immigration, so this really had nothing to do with guns. And people in her office then called the local, what would be equivalent to the local police, and he was asked to leave. And he did. Of course, he wanted to make an appointment to go back, but he left. He complied. The next day, at his home, it was the local officials, the local. So there also, the lawsuit also alleges that Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy and the local government conspired to violate his constitutional rights, both his First Amendment constitutional right to petition his elected officials for redress of grievance, and his of course his Second Amendment rights. But I mean, just to seize the property like that. Like I said, there was no charges, there was no arrest. There was no warrant. It was just so. It looks pretty vengeful. Is what it looks like, you know.
Well,
go ahead.
I think all law-abiding citizens, if they feel that their rights have been denied, certainly ought to make use of whatever legal means are available to them to redress those grievances. No question about that. You know, that's one of the reasons we have a court system.
Right, it is. And I mean, and again, one of the points was like, we feel comfortable at gun owners thinking, well, there's no law that permits anyone to seize my firearms on their own whim, so they feel comfortable about doing it. And this is just to wake up everybody out there who's listening, is that it has been done even without the law. So clearly, this demonstrates that the executive branch in America does not feel that it has to obey the law. It's going to do what they want. And if they want to show up at your house and take your guns, they're going to do it, because they have done it. And again, if anybody wants to follow this case, I'll give it to you. The civil suit is 07-CV-3983. If you know someone in the legal profession, or you have access to it on the web where you can go and read it, you can do that. If you want to call the courthouse and ask them how to view it, the number of the courthouse is 631-712-6000, and that's in the United States District Court, Eastern District of New York. And, you know, I suggest that all gun owners follow this case, see what has happened, see what you can do about it, and I think it's an example of the times that we're in right now, the absolute power that the executive branch seems to have allocated itself.
Well, that's
a
great story,
Dave. Civil rights
lawyers. I appreciate your calling in and sharing that with us.
Rights lawyers? Sir?
Yes.
Dave? What did you say about
Dave?
Civil
no,
rights?
Oh, I was going to say,
you're...
I think a lot of civil rights lawyers are going to be very much interested in following the developments in this case. No question about that.
And then I'll give. I don't want to take up too much time. All the pro-gun attorneys, they didn't want to touch this case. All the civil rights attorneys, because it had to do with guns, they didn't want it. I mean, you know, the NRA, Gun Owners of America, all, even local gun clubs, all these guys who are saying, if your rights are, when it came time to get into the courtroom to take this case, no one wanted to take it, maybe because it was against the congresswoman. That shouldn't matter. Finally, the plaintiff found an attorney who was truly interested in justice. So I would
what's
like to
his
also...
name? What's his name?
Well, the attorney's name is Lester LaRidola, and he's in Nassau County, New York. But, you know, all these pro-gun lawyers, gun club lawyers, civil rights lawyers, you know, they were just, either they had cold feet because it was a congresswoman involved, or they're really not out for justice. And if you're out for justice, it shouldn't matter who the bad guy is. A bad guy is a bad guy.
Well, Dave, I wanted to ask you, was this covered in your local media?
Cover it. You know, they've been blacking it out. They black out a lot of things here because, you know, and I'll tell you something, the case looks very good. You know, the case has withstood the first series of motions to dismiss. And one of the key points is, you know, whatever action it is, the executive branch does not have the statutory empowerment to take those actions. I mean, it's just like if they say, well, no one can drink coffee on Friday, we're going to confiscate your coffee on Friday. You can't do that unless there's, you know, law behind doing it. The executive can't make law. So the case looks very good, and that's why there's been no coverage. As a matter of fact, the individual is being harassed. There was just happened to be an error in their computer where his property taxes went up. Nobody knows how. The computer just changed numbers by itself. Of course, they readjusted it, and that was property taxes are down to, you know, what they should. But no, stuff like this, they black out.
Well, Dave, that sounds like a really important story. I'm so glad you called in and shared it with us. We've got to go to another break. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
And we're back. I'm Nadia Shamsuddin. I'm sitting in for John Stadtmiller, who's still feeling a little bit under the weather. And we've been talking with John Snyder, gun expert. And John, we have had a caller on hold patiently waiting to ask you a question. So, hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Mike from Kentucky. You can hear me, right?
Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Hello. Are you familiar with a couple of cases kind of along these lines, State v. Robinson? And I can't keep all these abbreviations memorized, but you can Google these and find them pretty readily. Adams versus State, 121 GA, that's in the Southeast Reporter, 910. Plummer versus State.
Which state? Kentucky?
Well, I'm trying to, no, I think it's Indiana. 136 IND.306. And then there's a premise upheld by the Supreme Court in the United States case, John Bad Elk versus United States, and that's 177 in the U.S. 529 edition. Now, all of these cases have to do, and I think officers need to be made aware of this. There's been several people that have defended themselves up to and including killing the police officer for unlawful activity, like was described by the last caller. And I think the more officers that are made aware of this, that they cannot go around roughshod
no matter what executive has told them they are allowed to do whatever under decision directives or what, you know, whatever particular flavor of executive order they think they're authorized by. All these particular cases basically point to that fact that the citizen is well assured by the court under all these rulings that they can even kill the officer if they have to avoid being unlawfully arrested, and third-party people can intervene if they witness an unlawful arrest. Have you read those opinions?
I have not read those opinions, but I'm very glad to have them pointed out. You know, I think people should be
aware of what's going on in the court.
You know,
we need to put some of these phrases on the back of their cars, on their front door. You know, I've had a sticker on the back of my car for about 5 years now that says it's a quote from Adolf Hitler. It says, for the first time, a civilized nation will be safer, our streets will be safer, and all this stuff, because we have full gun registration. That's 1933. We all know what happened in the next few years in that country, Nazi Germany.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting, but in the 20th century, as I'm sure you realize, there were a number of genocides committed in various countries. Every single one of the genocides was preceded by gun confiscation, and every one of these government acts of gun confiscation had been preceded by laws mandating the registration of firearms. So
great,
I think,
documentary on that subject called not Beyond Treason. I'm trying to remember. It's The Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership has a great documentary on that. I just can't remember the title of it right now.
Well, it's as you say, it's been adequately and quite scholastically documented, and I think that there's no question about the fact that one of the hallmarks of freedom is the right and ability of law-abiding citizens to be able to defend themselves criminals of any type.
You can do your own survey. Try squishing spiders with your finger and see how many of them turn on you and try to bite you, and you're 10,000 times bigger than they are.
I think I'd at least have on a pair of gloves before I try.
Well, you get my point.
No,
Mike, thanks for your call.
I appreciate your calling in today. Yeah, he brings up some kind of frightening scenarios.
He sure does.
Police brutality. Why are we seeing more of this?
Well, Nadia, I don't know whether or not we are seeing more of it or that more of it is being reported, but I do know that within the police community, there is a divergence of opinion as to whether we should consider police, as we have traditionally in the United States, as citizens wearing a badge, or whether we should consider police somehow as a distinct society or as a distinct element within society. Now, I know that the National Association of Chiefs of Police, as opposed to the international organization, each year conducts surveys of command officer opinion on this, that is, opinion of sheriffs and chiefs. And they over 90% each year come out and say that law-abiding citizens should be able to get any kind of a legitimate firearm they want for purposes of sport or self-defense. So I think that luckily the majority of police opinion is very conscious of the rights of citizens. But there are some cowboys who think that they themselves are above the law rather than simply employed to enforce the law.
Well, yeah, and you know this gentleman who called in from New York, Dave, and he cited this case. Have you heard of similar situations like that story? How often do you hear about those things?
Well, not exactly like that, but I have heard complaints of people against officials of various stripes in at different levels of government, and I think that he's absolutely correct in maintaining that citizens have to always be on the watch against the possibility of infringement on their rights by other citizens as well as also by officials of state and local government.
And I think our founding fathers realized that. That's why they sent. That's why they set up the government the way they did. I mean, they state specifically it's set up to try to prevent anybody from getting too much power over anybody else. So
that's right, and they also intended for the citizens to know their rights. And unfortunately, most American citizens are remiss. They wouldn't know
if someone were taking their rights away from them.
They wouldn't have a clue. Many of them.
That's true. Now, whether that's the fault of the educational system that we have right now, or whether it's just because of laziness on the part of people, I don't really know. But I think it definitely is true that there is not quite yet enough awareness of the citizens' rights as opposed to the power of government. The only thing ultimately that really prevents the government from becoming too powerful is the citizens' awareness of their rights.
That's right.
Their readiness to act to defend those rights.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you what in this new legislation that we mentioned earlier should freedom-loving Americans be the most concerned about?
Well, freedom-loving Americans should always be concerned about any increase in government power, because even though, you know, a lot of these laws are put forth to promote equity in the public and so on and so forth, they almost always involve some kind of transfer of authority to the government. But I'd rather look on the good side of this and point out the citizens under this law have the ability to act as a watchdog over the various government officials to make sure that they don't overstep their bounds. Now, one thing that I would like to have seen included in this law that was not included was a blanket provision for the veterans. But as the thing stands now, the veterans have to take action themselves if they've been put in the categories that we were discussing earlier. But at least that's a step in the right direction. I just think that people generally should be aware of the law and of what their rights are under it. They have to read it.
The issue of the Second Amendment came up in all of this, and I just wanted to read that because I love to read the amendments because I think we need to hear them as often as possible, which says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And, you know, infringement, all this legislation feels like infringement to a lot of us.
Well, to a certain extent, certainly, yes.
Yeah.
That unfortunately is the case.
Well, you know, this case that's going to be going before the Supreme Court,
Columbia versus Heller, yes.
Right. One question I have about that, I want to give people a background on that. It's the District of Columbia is appealing the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit Court ruling that found that Washington, D.C.'s ban on handguns, on having any gun assembled for use within the home, and on carrying a firearm within the home without a permit actually violates the Second Amendment. Now, years ago, I lived and worked in Washington, D.C., and I remember then that there were some pretty strict gun laws. John, tell us, why have gun laws historically been more strict in the District of Columbia than other cities?
Well, you're right on that. Washington, D.C. has probably the strictest gun laws of any metropolitan area in the United States. I think that one of the reasons for that is that politicians who are faced with crime crisis, especially crisis of violent crime, in an attempt to escape responsibility for that, try to blame it on these inanimate objects, guns, in an attempt to deflect public opinion away from blaming them for the lack of proper enforcement of public safety. I think that is really one of the reasons for that. Also, the establishment in Washington, D.C. is extremely statist-oriented, and they've never heard of a gun law they didn't like, put it that way. So that's why the citizens, you know, the law-abiding citizens in the District of Columbia, in effect for years now, have been deprived of their right to be able to defend themselves against these criminals, which is one of the reasons you've had such an outbreak of crime in Washington, D.C. The crime rates have skyrocketed in Washington, D.C., even at the same time that the rates of those same kinds of crimes in, say, nearby Virginia have gone down. Now, defenders of the D.C. gun law say that it's because people can get guns in Virginia and bring them into Washington that they've had this problem. But the fact of the matter is, the crime rates in Virginia are lower. The violent crime rates in Virginia are lower than they are in Washington, D.C. So that's a completely bogus argument. It has no credence whatsoever, in my opinion. But in answer to your question, the people in Washington, D.C. are just the type of people who believe that the more government you have, the better off you are. And of course, the very opposite really is the case.
Well, absolutely. And when I lived in D.C., it was probably about 15 years ago, I produced a documentary about Washington being the murder capital.
Mm-hmm.
And the statistics were at that time that the perpetrators of these crimes were average about 18 years old, black male,
mm-hmm.
and the average victim of those crimes was an 18-year-old black male.
Yeah,
so it was mm-hmm. primarily, I don't know what we want to call it, an urban issue, a racial issue. They call it black-on-black crime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes into the public discussion, people are afraid to call it what it is. People are afraid to attach any racial overtones to it. But, you know, you look at the statistics, and it was the overwhelming fact that this represented the largest percentage of violent crimes committed with handguns within the District of Columbia.
Oh, I'm very familiar with those statistics. My office has been in, well, I've been, you know, working on this issue for over 40 years, so I spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C. My office is there and so on. And I've seen this issue develop there over the years. And there's no question but that Washington, D.C. has a terrible violent crime problem. And in my opinion, one of the reasons is because of this gun law. Because, you know, these criminally oriented youths know that, generally speaking, people can't protect themselves. So they feel free to commit whatever murder and mayhem they want to commit. Whereas if there was a law at least allowing people to carry guns to defend themselves, these violent criminals wouldn't know whether they were going to get a blast or not. So they'd be less inclined to try to attack decent people. I think.
Well, that's right. Yeah, and I remember seeing a good bumper sticker while I was there. It said, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
No question about that.
And I think there's a real truth in the philosophy behind that thinking. Guns, in some respect in a society, do keep order. And the way that our government was established over 200 years ago was based on the philosophy of personal responsibility and not looking for the government or the police or the militia or the military to take care of you, that you have to learn to take care of yourself, a sense of autonomy and self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
But we have moved away from that and expecting the government to come and rush to our rescue. And I'll tell you, I had someone call, and I'm going to be doing a show on the public duty doctrine, which is something not many people know about, and it's really fascinating. It came into reality about the mid-1850s, and it basically says that the government really doesn't have a responsibility to protect you. You can't sue the police if you're the victim of a crime. You can't say, well, you didn't protect me, you weren't here. And they don't want people to know about it, because if this was more widely known, The concern is that more people would want to be able to, you know, go out and buy a gun and have one in their possession.
That's an excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up, because the courts have, whenever this issue has come up, have declared that whereas the police have a duty to protect society, the police do not have a duty to protect any individual. So that if you are an individual are attacked or your rights are denied in some way by a criminal, you do not have a cause of action against the city or the state. Because
that's alarming. It was actually an alarming realization for me when someone recently educated me about that, and I said, "You've got to be kidding."
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
Yeah, we go through life making a lot of presumptions, don't we, John?
We sure do. But it's very, very important to bring that out. And I think that that is one of the major reasons for citizens favoring the right to keep and bear arms.
Well, we're going to take another break right now, and urge everybody to stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Nadia Shamsuddin, sitting in for John Stadtmiller, who is still feeling a bit ill. We hope he'll be back soon. John, if you're listening, we're praying for you to feel much better. And I'm sure your listeners miss you. But I appreciate your tuning in and staying with me. And I've had a wonderful discussion today with John Snyder, gun expert. And, John, we're going to be on for another hour, and I'd love for you to stay with us if you have time.
I'd be very happy to. Thank you, Nadia. It's a very, very interesting program. Very fine guests, too. Very fine to call in people.
Yeah, well, we have a very sophisticated audience. Our RBN listeners are well-read, and they keep up with the issues. And want to encourage you, if you have something you'd like to share with us, give us a call, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Well, I wanted to get back to a couple of the specifics in this case that's going before the Supreme Court, Columbia versus Heller. You know, I've read through this, and there were a number of points where the circuit court made a ruling that just really kind of seemed insane. And it's going to be a very interesting argument. Did you say it goes before the court, to the high court, in March?
Well, the case will be heard then. See what happened was several citizens of the District of Columbia filed suit against the District of Columbia because they said their right to defend themselves in effect was denied by this law, and that their Second Amendment rights were denied. The lower court ruled against them, but then they appealed it to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals ruled in their favor and said that yes, indeed, the D.C. law conflicted with the Second Amendment and was an unconstitutional denial of the right to keep and bear arms. The district then appealed that from a panel of the Court of Appeals to the full court. And the full court refused to reconsider it, whereupon the district then filed an appeal for certiorari to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court granted the writ of certiorari, which means that the Supreme Court will hear the arguments in the case, and the date for argument will be in March. Now, that will not be the time at which the decision will be heard. The decision probably will not be handed down till sometime early summer. But as it stands now, the court now has an opportunity to finally declare this law unconstitutional. Of course, they may not do that, but I think most people think that the scholarship in the area of the Second Amendment, even from the people who would be expected to favor the so-called collectivist approach, realize that historically the argument favors the individualist interpretation of the right to keep and bear arms.
Well, John, we're going to go to another break to take us to the top of the hour. We've got a couple of callers on the line. If you would just hang in there, we'll get to you, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Take America.